we shall see that the Quran is full of errors, mistakes, and contradictions which fully prove to the rational mind that the Quran is not the Word of God, that Allah is not God, and that Muhammad was not his prophet. Over in Surah 10, we find there that the Quran in that place says that Allah created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. So what the Bible said about 6 days is consistent with what the Quran said in Surah 10, but it contradicts what the Quran said in Surah 41. My good Muslim friend, using classic circular reasoning, said, well, since the Quran is perfect and it's the word of Allah, therefore it does not say 8 days. So we went to the passage together, and he counted up, and I counted up, 2 plus 4 plus 2, and I said, that's 8. He said, no, that's 6. I said, 4 plus 2 plus 2 is 6? He said, yes, because 4 is divisible by 2, so 4 really means 2. I said, my dear friend, the Arabic says 4, it does not say 2. And 4 plus 2 plus 2, no matter how you do it, is not going to be 6. He said, well, it has to be 6, otherwise the Quran would be wrong. And since the Quran cannot be wrong, therefore 4 equals 2. Well, you see, of course, the kind of mentality that we are dealing with when you point out such errors. But you see, the Quran is wrong either way. If the Quran is right in Surah 10, verse 3, which says 6 days, then Surah 41 is wrong. But if Surah 41 is right, that it actually was 8 days, then Surah 10 is wrong. Either way, the Quran loses. And it begins its contradiction of the Bible in the very first chapter of the first book. Secondly, the Quran makes many mistakes concerning Noah, his son, and the flood. According to the Quran, the flood took place during the days of Moses when he was under Pharaoh. It was during the same period of time that Haman was building the Tower of Babel. And one of the sons of Noah refused to get into the ark and drowned. And when the flood was finished and the ark came to rest, it did not rest on Arad, as the Bible said. Instead, according to the Quran, the ark came to rest on Mount Judi. Well, you see, this is a complete disbubilation, a confusion of names and places that gets everything totally confused. One of the reasons is that to someone living in 7th century Arabia, there was no real historical concept of time. As these tradesmen would sit around the fire talking, they came from different caravans, and Muhammad would be listening as a young man. He would hear the famous fables and stories of many lands, and they would be described as if all of these things took place at the same time, in the same place, with the same people. And all sorts of mistakes were made. We know from the Bible that the three sons of Noah got in the ark. One of them did not drown. We know when the flood took place, and it did not take place during the days of Moses and Pharaoh, and Haman was not there building the Tower of Babel. The Quran makes many mistakes about Abraham. It says that Abraham's father's name was Azar, but the Bible tells us his name was Terah. We're told that Abraham lived and worshipped in the valley of Mecca, as did all the patriarchs. This is not true. The Bible tells us he lived in Hebron. It was his son Isaac that Abraham went to sacrifice, and not Ishmael, as the Quran seems to suggest. Abraham had 8 sons, and not just 2, as the Quran claimed. Abraham had 3 wives, and not just 2, as the Quran claims. And Abraham did not build the Kaaba, even though the Quran puts him there building it. And lastly, the Quran mixes together Abraham with Nimrod, who preceded him by many, many generations, for he has Nimrod throwing Abraham in a fire in which Abraham is not burned, but survives. So you have Nimrod confused with the life of Abraham, and then they take the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and attribute that to Abraham. There are mistakes about Joseph. The Quran says that the man who bought Joseph was named Aziz. But if you look in Genesis 37 and verse 36, you find out it was Potiphar who purchased Joseph, not someone by the name Aziz. The mistakes concerning Moses are quite fabulous. It was not Pharaoh's wife who adopted Moses, as the Quran claims, but it was Pharaoh's daughter, according to the scriptures. The flood of Noah did not take place in Moses' day. The Quran says that Haman lived in Egypt during the time of Moses and worked for Pharaoh building the Tower of Babel. This is not true, and this is a very serious error. Also, the Quran pictures Pharaoh as using crucifixion as one of the methods in dealing with criminals. The Quran lists many of the mistakes concerning Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. The Quran says that the father of Mary was named Iram. That is not true. The Quran says that she gave birth to Jesus under a palm tree, and that other miraculous things were attributed to her, which she would shake the tree and dates would fall down, when we know from the biblical history that he was born in a stable, not under a palm tree in the open. Muhammad even made the grand error of confusing the Miriam, who was the sister of Moses and Aaron, with the Miriam, and he calls her Miriam, who was the mother of Jesus. He thinks the Miriam, or Mary, who is the mother of Jesus, was also the sister of Moses and Aaron. This is putting together two people's identity into one woman when they are actually separated by thousands of years. Muhammad made up many fraudulent speeches and miracles for Mary in the Quran. For example, Zacharias could not speak the entire time until his son was born, according to the Bible, but the Quran says that Zacharias could not speak for 3 days, and then he could speak and tell. But you see, these fictional speeches that are found throughout the Quran reveal that they are fraudulent because the vocabulary that's found in those speeches simply did not fit the time or the language of the people who supposedly said these things. So in the Quran, you have people, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, saying, "We are Muslims." Well, there was no such terminology during the patriarchal period. The people before Muhammad were not talking about Islam as a religion. They weren't claiming to be Muslims and this and that. It's as ridiculous as saying, someone tried to write a Quran and it said, "And Muhammad got out of his BMW at the Kentucky Fried Chicken stand and said, 'I like Kentucky Fried Chicken best.'" Well, obviously, there was no Kentucky Fried Chicken, no BMW. And when you study the speeches that are attributed to people throughout the Quran, which have no basis in the Bible or any secular history, they're composed of references to people, to places, to events, to circumstances, to food. The very internal evidence of the wording reveals they are completely fraudulent from point one. The Encyclopedia Britannica points this out, quote, "The deviations from the biblical narratives are very marked, and can in most cases be traced back to the legendary anecdotes of the Jewish Haggadah and the apocryphal Gospels. Much has been written concerning the sources from which Muhammad derived this information. There is no evidence that he was able to read, and his dependence on oral communication may explain some of his misconceptions. For example, the confusion of Haman, the minister of Ahasuerus, with the minister of Pharaoh, or the identification of Miriam, the sister of Moses, with Mary, the mother of the Lord." Thus, Western encyclopedias, dictionaries, reference works on Islam have pointed out that the Quran jumbles together in a completely incoherent sense all of the biblical narratives and names and dates, because to Muhammad, they all were in one present vision. And he could have Mary, the mother of Jesus, as the sister of Moses, and Haman living at that time when the flood came and the time, and it is completely discombobulated. And all the king's horses and all the caliph's men can never put it together again. There are mistakes about Jesus. It says that Jesus was not the Son of God. The Quran says that Jesus did not die for our sins. He was not crucified on a cross. He was not God as well as man. He is not the Savior of sinners. If that doesn't contradict the Bible, I don't think anything would. It makes many mistakes concerning what Christians believe. The Quran teaches that Christians believe in three gods: the Father, the Mother, and the Son. For you see, to Muhammad, the idea that Jesus is the Son of God meant that Allah came down and had a sexual relationship with Mary, and she's a second deity, because you see, Allah in the pagan religion was married to the sun goddess and already had three daughters, Al-Lat, Al-Uzza, and Manat. And when the Christians talked about Jesus being the Son of God, he of course thinking in his pagan background, oh, then they're saying that their God had sex with a goddess and produced a son, just like Allah had sex with the sun goddess and had three daughters. But you see, Christians do not believe in three gods. They believe in one God in three persons, and Mary is not the second person of the Trinity. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when the Christians refer to God as the Father and Jesus as the Son, that is in a metaphorical, a figurative way. We do not believe that God the Father is a male and a man. Scripture tells us God is not a man. He did not come down and have sex with Mary, despite what the early Mormons believed. And thus, Jesus is the Son of God in a figurative sense, not in a literal sexual sense. But you see, as Richard Bell pointed out in his introduction to the Quran, Muhammad never understood the doctrine of the Trinity, end quote. The Encyclopedia Britannica points out, quote, there are mistaken concepts of the Trinity in the Quran. The Concise Dictionary of Islam states, quote, in some cases the material which forms the substance of Quranic narrative, details of the creeds of Christianity and Judaism, for example, does not correspond to those religions' own understanding of their beliefs. This could be said, for example, of the notion of the Trinity found in the Quran, the story of Satan's refusal to bow down and worship to Adam, the docetic view of the crucifixion, all of which can be traced to the dogma of Gnostic sects, which are heretical in relationship to Orthodox Christianity and Judaism. The Trinity seen in the Quran is not the Trinity of the Apostles' Creed or of the Nicene Creed. In other words, you as a Christian need to be aware of the fact that the Quran says you believe in three gods, the Father, the Mother, and the Son. How can the Quran be inspired if it makes such a fundamental error? This is why Yusuf Ali deliberately mistranslates the Quran. You see, in Surah 573, in the Arabic, Allah supposedly said, they blaspheme who say that God is one of three gods. Yusuf Ali, when he translated that, said this, they do blaspheme who say that God is one of three in a Trinity. The words in a Trinity are not in the Arabic. You can look in all the other translations of the Quran, it will not be there. Because there, the Quran was saying, anyone who would say that Allah is just one God among three gods, the Father, the Mother, and the Son, is blasphemy. But Christians don't believe in three gods, the Father, the Mother, and the Son. So what does Yusuf Ali does? He adds the words in a Trinity in order to escape this obvious error of the Quran. Thus, it can be pointed out in many places that there are mistakes concerning what Christians believe. There are mistakes about what Jews believe. The Quran tells us in Surah 9 and verse 30 that the Jews believed that Ezra was the Messiah, just like Christians believe that Jesus was. You don't have to take my authority for this. Go to any Jewish rabbi. Do you Jews believe that Ezra was the Messiah? And the rabbi says, not that we know. Of course not. That's a mistake. Crystal clear. This is why the Concise Dictionary of Islam gives this comment, quote, there are many details regarding Judaism which are in variance with Jewish belief. In other words, when the Quran describes what Christians believe, what Jews believe, and what other people believe, it gets it all confused and it's erroneous. And as you talk with your Muslim neighbor and friend, they, having only read the Quran, think that when you say Jesus is the Son of God, that you believe that Allah had sex with Mary, who was a goddess, and that there are three gods. That's why you must explain to your Muslim friends, the Quran is wrong. We believe in one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Quran makes many historical mistakes. I can only mention a few. Our time is leaving us. In Surah 20, 87 and 95, it speaks of the Samaritan. And this is during the days when Aaron was making the golden calf, and according to the Quran, that the gold was simply thrown into the fire, and out leaped a golden calf who immediately mooed by its own. And this golden calf was made at the suggestion of a Samaritan. Well, anyone who knows secular history knows that the Samaritans came from Samaria, which was a nation not created until many, 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 many generations later, after Israel went into captivity, after the Assyrian and the Babylonians and Gentiles were brought in. But you don't get to Samaritans till you get to the New Testament. The Quran puts the Samaritans back with Moses in the wilderness at the making of the golden calf that leapt out of the fire and mooed. An obvious error. One of the greatest errors, which I think is so clear, is so embarrassing that many Muslims want to stay away from this one, is the fact that in Surah 18, 89 through 98, under the name of Sulaiman, the Quran says that Alexander the Great was a Muslim and he believed in the true God and he was an honorable and righteous man and that he lived to ripe old age. This is an error which is ironclad. As the Encyclopedia Britannica points out, his account of Alexander, introduced as the two-horned one, is derived from the Romance of Alexander, which was current among the Nestorian Christians of the 7th century in a Syriac version of the story. This is why Yusuf Ali, even though he tries desperately to get out of it, has to admit, quote, I have the least doubt that Zulkarnain is meant to be Alexander the Great, the historic Alexander, and not some legendary Alexander, end quote. It does not matter if you turn to the Encyclopedia Britannica or other general reference works, or the Concise Dictionary, or the Shorter Encyclopedia, or the Encyclopedias of Islam. Look under the entry under Alexander the Great, and you will find that this is true. The Quran speaks of Alexander the Great as being a Muslim when he was a pagan. He worshipped many gods. The Quran will speak of him as being a righteous man when we know that he was a very unrighteous man, even a homosexual. And thirdly, he did not live to ripe old age. As the Quran said, he died young. Go check any standard reference work and you will find out that Alexander the Great, in terms of his life, does not correspond to what the Quran says concerning him. Or again, scientific problems. In Surah 18, verses 85 and following, a man decided that he wanted to find out what happens to the sun when it goes down. Where does it go? So this Arab got on his camel and he got it going and he followed the setting of the sun till he saw that the sun was a fiery ball. And they thought, in those days in Arabia that the moon and the stars, these things were sort of just in the sky, and they were the same size as what the human eye could see them. And this sun came down out of the sky and went down into a muddy spring, and the waters closed over it with hiss and steam, and the world was plunged into darkness. And then in the morning the sun came out of the muddy spring, and the daylight was at last dawning. An obvious problem. Lastly, there were many, many, many pre-existent materials, stories, and legends that were used by Muhammad in his recitation of the Quran. The French scholar Jacques Mozier points out, quote, "Muslims receive these narratives as the word of God without inquiring about their historical background. In fact, we have there a popular poetic form of legends, variants of religious themes known from other places," end quote. I cannot go into great detail. I have to do that in the book, but I cannot do it here. But for example, the Quran uses many of the fabulous Arabian tales and repeats them as if they were true. For example, the Arabian legends about the fabulous genies are repeated in the Quran. The story of a she-camel who leapt out of a rock and became a preaching prophet, and for her benefit was killed and eaten by the tribesmen, was repeated as being gospel truth. The story in Surah 2 and 7 of an entire village of people who were turned into apes and monkeys because they fished on the Sabbath, and Allah turned them into monkeys. The story, which I call the Rip Van Winkle story, of seven men and their animals who slept for a period of 309 years in a cave and then woke up and were fit and hearty. The fable of four pieces of four birds had been cut up into pieces, and all of a sudden the pieces went flying off in every direction. Jewish sources, oh my, they were first noted in 1833 by Abraham Geiger, and then they were brought up into date by Dr. Abraham Katz of New York University in 1954. The fantastic tale that God made a man die for 100 years with no ill effect. The idea that Muhammad was resurrected. The tale of Abraham being delivered from Nimrod's fire. The story that God lifted up Mount Sinai and held it over the heads of the Jews and said, if you don't receive Moses' law, I'm going to squash you like bugs, which the Quran gives, came from Jewish fables and tales. The story of the golden calf that leapt out of the fire and mooed all came from rabbinic material. The Quran also has material from heretical Christian sources, the Gnostic Gospels. It has Jesus making clay birds, the baby Jesus speaking, things of this nature. Sabaean sources, pagan sources, Eastern religious sources from Zoroastrianism, Hinduism. All of these things are completely clear and have been documented many, 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 many times. Even the Quran itself warns the reader that as Muhammad recited these things, people would say, oh, we've heard all of this before. We know these stories. We know where you got these things, Muhammad. You didn't get them off a stone table out of heaven. These are the same stories you were told as a child at the knee of your grandparents, your uncles, and your friends. And then the Quran tells you, but don't believe the testimony of all of Muhammad's family members, neighbors, tribesmen, Western scholars. Instead, take that blind leap of faith and say that the Quran fell down out of heaven as the Word of God. While the devout Muslim believes with all of his heart that the rituals and doctrines of Islam are entirely heavenly in origin and thus cannot have any earthly sources, scholars have demonstrated beyond all doubt that every ritual and belief in Islam can be traced back to pre-Islamic Arabian culture, custom, and rite. Thus, the Quran is not the Word of God.